Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga, text 13 to 14. So this is Russia?
Also, destined for tomorrow.
Oh, for tomorrow, okay. Samam kaya shiro grivam. Darya nachalam stira. Sampraksya nasika gansvam. Dishaschanavalokayan Prasantatma Vigata Bir Brahmachari Rite Sita Manaksamyamyama Shito Yukta Sidama Praha Samam Straight Kaya Body Shira, head, girvam, and neck, Daryan, holding, achalam, unmoving, stira, still, sampreksya, looking, nasika, of the nose, agram, at the tip, Swam, own, Disha, on all sides, Cha, also, Avalokayan, not looking, Prasanta, unagitated, Atma, mind, Vigatabhi, devoid of fear, Brahmachari Vritae, in the vow of celibacy, Sthitaha, situated. Manaha, mind. Samyamya, completely subduing. Mat, upon me. Krishna, Chitaha, concentrating the mind. Yukta, the actual yogi. Asita, should sit. Mat, me. Paraha, the ultimate goal. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami the Prabhupada. One should hold one's body, neck, and head erect in a straight line and stare steadily at the tip of the nose. Thus, with an unagitated, subdued mind, devoid of fear, completely free from sex life, one should meditate upon me within the heart and make me the ultimate goal of life. Purport. The goal of life is to know Krishna, who is situated within the heart of every living being as Paramatma, the four-handed Vishnu form. The yoga process is practiced in order to discover and see this localized form of Vishnu, and not for any other purpose. The localized Vishnu Murti is the plenary representation of Krishna dwelling with one's heart. One who has no program to realize this Vishnu Murti is uselessly engaged in mock yoga practice and is certainly wasting his time. Krishna is the ultimate goal of life, and the Vishnu Murti situated in one's heart is the object of yoga practice. To realize this Vishnu Murti within the heart, one has to observe complete abstinence from sex life. Therefore, one has to leave home and live alone in a secluded place, remaining seated as mentioned above. One cannot enjoy sex life daily at home or elsewhere and attain a so-called yoga class and thus become a yogi. One has to practice controlling the mind and avoiding all kinds of sense gratification, of which sex life is the chief. In the rules of celibacy written by the great sage Yajnavalkya, it is said, Karmana manasa vacham sarvavastasu sarvada sarvatra maituna tyago brahmacharyam prachakshate. The vow of brahmacharya is meant to help one completely abstain from sex life, indulgence, in work, words, and mind, at all times, under all circumstances, and in all places. No one can perform correct yoga practice through sex indulgence. Brahmacharya is taught, therefore, from childhood, when one has no knowledge of sex life. Children, at the age of 5, are sent to the Gurukul, or the place of the spiritual master, and the spiritual master trains the young boys and the strict discipline of becoming brahmacharis. Without such practice, no one can make advancement in any yoga, whether it be dhyana, jnana, or bhakti. One who, however, follows the rules and regulations of married life, having a sexual relationship only with his wife, and that also under strict regulation, is also called a brahmachari. Such a restrained household or brahmachari may be accepted in the bhakti school, but the jnana and dhyana schools do not even admit household or brahmacharis. They require complete abstinence without compromise. In the bhakti school, a household or brahmachari is allowed to control sex life because the cult of bhakti yoga is so powerful that one automatically loses sexual attraction, being engaged in the superior service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:59, it is said, Vishayavini vartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam risopyasya brahmdrishvani vartate. Whereas others are forced to restrain themselves from sense gratification, devotee of the Lord automatically refrains because of superior taste. Other than the devotee, no one has any information of that superior taste. Vigatabhi, one cannot be fearless unless one is fully in Krishna consciousness. A conditioned soul is fearful due to his perverted memory, his forgetfulness of his eternal relation with Krishna. The Bhagavatam 11.2.37 says, Vayam dvitiyani beshitasyad isharabhatasya vipariyo smriti. Krishna consciousness is the only basis for fearlessness. Therefore, perfect practice is possible for a person who is in Krishna consciousness. And since the ultimate goal of yoga practice is to see the Lord within, Krishna conscious person is already the best of all yogis. The principles of the yoga system mentioned herein are different from those of the popular so-called yoga societies. Samam kayo shiro grivam daryam na charam stira sampreksi nasikagaram swam dishaschala chanavalokayan prasantatma vigata bir brahmachari ritestitaha manaksamyami vasito yukta sitamat praha. One should hold one's body, neck, and head erect in a straight line and stare steadily at the tip of the nose. Thus, with an unagitated, subdued mind, devoid of fear, completely free from sex life, one should meditate upon me within the heart and make me the ultimate goal of life. In the fifth chapter, Krishna has said, Sankhya Yoga Prita Bala Pravadantina Pandita Ekam Apyasita Samyag Ubaya Vidate Palam. That only the ignorant speak of Sankhya Karma Yoga as being different from the analytical study of the material world. That one who knows both, well, knows that both of them have the same purpose. Both of them, Sankhya Yoga is meant to realize that we're not this body, that we're eternal, and the existence of God. And Bhakti Yoga is meant to, same thing, but not only to accept Krishna's existence, but to engage in his service. Now, not everyone will take to the process of Bhakti Yoga. Some people are attracted to the Bali concept of life, and therefore they're more inclined to practice something like Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga, or in this particular stage, is Astanga Yoga. So Prabhupada writes in the seventh chapter, the first verse in the purport, that in the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity has been described as non-material spirit soul, capable of elevating himself to self-realization by different types of yogas. At the end of the sixth chapter is stated that the steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna, or in other words, Krishna consciousness, is the highest form of all yoga. By concentrating one's mind upon Krishna, one can know the absolute truth in full, free from doubt. Different types of yogas are only stepping stones on the path of bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, and one who takes the bhakti yoga automatically knows about Brahman and Paramatma in full. By practice of Krishna consciousness yoga, one can know everything in full, only the absolute truth, the material nature, living entities and their manifestations with paraphernalia. Therefore, the Lord suggests at the end of the sixth chapter that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna. Goes on. So, the point is that Ashtanga Yoga is the path leading to Bhakti Yoga. Yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana shravan bhajate yomam sameyuktatamo mataha. That of all the yogis, he who always abides me with great and transcendental faith, meditating upon me in great and transcendental faith, engage my service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of them all. Of all yogis, one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of them all. So there is a gradual process, and here we're coming to the end of the process. But obviously the end of the process, and even the beginning of the process, is not so easy. Now, if the end of the process is that you have to sit in one place and lay kusha grass on the ground, cover it with a deer skin and a soft cloth, sit on it with head and neck erect with a straight line, we wouldn't get through that. Maybe 10 minutes and then I'm straight. Or as Prabhupada said, he had experience. He'd go to the Ganges and he'd see yogis meditating with their eyes closed, and he heard them practicing pranayama. So they're obviously quite advanced in Ashtanga Yoga, because for hours at a time they were practicing pranayama. But here Prabhupada in the purport emphasizes two things. One is freedom from sex desire, sex life, and sex desire, and at the same time concentrating the mind upon Krishna. They're not independent of each other. Tapasya brahmacharyena samena cha dhamena cha. That in the practice of purification, the first thing is tapasya. Tapasya means voluntarily undergoing difficulty in order to control the mind and the senses. And what's the result of tapasya? Brahmacharya. No one can be called a tapasi who's not come to the platform of brahmacharya. That if one is not willing to undergo brahmacharya, then their tapasya is, it was just a waste of time. Now, Prabhupada points out that in the Ashtanga Yoga system, marriage is not allowed. You don't. Of course, we have the example of Kardama Muni, who was practicing Ashtanga Yoga, and he had his wife, but they were doing so in complete celibacy up until a certain point. And then Kardama Muni, because he had made a promise or vow that he would remain with his wife as long as they didn't have a son, so he gave her first some daughters, and he gave her his son, and then he left. Therefore, it's essential that one maintain brahmacharya, but Prabhupada said that household life is allowed in the bhakti yoga system because, he points out, viṣyāvinivārtante niraharāsidehinam rasavarjam rasopyasya paramdrishva nivartite. That in the bhakti yoga system, if one follows a regulated life, even sex life, which means having children only for procreation, only having sex for procreation of children, then by practicing bhakti yoga sincerely and properly, then one will gradually get a higher taste. And after some time, sex life will not seem so attractive. And what to speak of an advanced devotee such as Jamunacharya, Yadavidi Mamacheta Krishna Padaravinde, Nava Nava Rasa Daman Yudyatam Rantima Sit, Tadavidi Nat Bhatta Nari Sangame Smaryamane, Bhaviti Mukha Vikar Vishusti Vinamcha. Well, this is quite advanced. Jamunacharya was a great king. He had a lot of opportunities for sense enjoyment. And he utilized his opportunities. But later on, he became a great devotee. And sometimes you think about his relationship with previous relationships, and instead of becoming disturbed by them in a positive way, he had actually become disgusted by it. But he became disgusted because he would be absorbed in remembering how ecstatic and loving and wonderful Krishna is and his devotees. He didn't become disgusted and vikara shusti vinam cha go around spitting at people. Now, he became disgusted because he understood that this was just a waste of time. Why? But anyhow, that was his reaction. But he was so much absorbed in love for Krishna that everything else seemed pale by comparison. So that stage is what we're trying to come to. We're not trying to just look at the ladies or the ladies look at the men and spit at each other. That's aversion. That's not spiritual advancement. That's material consciousness. But when one can actually see each other and in a loving way as spiritual brothers and sisters, then one will not be attracted by exploitation, of which sex life is the principal form of exploitation in the material world. But that consciousness cannot be attained so rapidly or artificially, and therefore regulated sex life is allowed within marriage, not with the idea of enjoying, but with the idea of taking the responsibility to raise children, to bring them up to be Krishna conscious. And at the same time, as one develops a loving relationship with the family in relationship to Krishna, then one will actually not become attracted to exploit each other for sensual pleasure. That one will see oneself as a servant of the wife and children, and at the same time maintain proper relationships. The ideal for this is Priyavrata Maharaj. Priyavrata Maharaj was a great brahmachari, the grandson of Swayambhuva Manu. And he was on the top of Mandana Hill with Narada Muni, a great brahmachari himself, and a Mahajan, was instructing him on the process of renunciation. And Priyavrata Maharaj was very receptive to this. But Swayambhuva Manu wanted to retire from his service as ruling the universe, because at that time the Manus had a much greater responsibility, apparently, at least from our perspective. I'm sure they still have great responsibility. But we're talking about Earth. But at that time, Manu was ruling the whole universe. He was the manager of the whole universe. And that included Bhumandala, of which we're on a dot, a little dot. As a matter of fact, if you take a dot, a little dot, literally, and you draw a line 40 kilometers away, that would be the Bhumandala, the amount of the disk that we're on. And we're on just a little, actually, that's the coverings. I'm sorry, that's the covering. We're just a little dot inside the coverings. And for that, Bharatvarsha is just a little part of Jambudvip, which is just a little small section of the inner circle surrounded of Bhumandala, which every ocean and every other part of Bhumandala is 10 times greater than the last. So we're just like a little dot within Bhumandala. In any case, he became the ruler of the whole thing, not just this little tiny planet. Oh, at least he was requested by Swayambhuva Manu to become the ruler. And he declined. He wasn't interested. But Swayambhuva Manu came with Indra and with Lord Shiva and Brahma. They all came. So it's hard to say no to Brahma and Shiva and Indra, and all the other demigods, and your great-grandfather. So he said, all right, what to do? Three Mahajans against one. So he took up ruling the universe, Because nowadays, if you could get that position, oh yeah, sure, I'll do it. take me. He doesn't want to do it. I'm all into it. But anyhow, he was a great devotee, and so he accepted a very beautiful and attractive wife. Because ruling the universe means Yagyavai Vishnu, not get a big house and, you know, get servants and have so many different, you know, chariots outside your house and people peeling grapes for you. That's not what the rule of the universe meant. It meant performing yagya, Yagyavai Vishnu. And yagyas, sacrifices of Vishnu, require a wife. So he had to get a wife who was going to rule the universe. Because the ruler actually means the biggest householder. Indra is a big householder. Well, we could say where someone may be a householder, the king of the place or the mayor, he's a bigger householder. The king of the region or the emperor, a bigger householder. Indra is a bigger householder. And the ruler of the universe is the biggest householder. Because that's his house, the whole universe. So he got a wife. And it's not that, although he's a great devotee, he acted as if he was an ordinary conditioned soul. Because if he acted as if he was a great devotee, and every time his wife came before him, he looked the other way and said, you know, don't try and attract me because, you know, I'm a great devotee. I don't want to fall down. Get away from me. The whole universe would have gotten really bewildered. This is the example. The ruler of the universe doesn't appreciate his wife. And it would have caused, you know, he's the example. And you would have had a lot of ladies crying. So instead of that, he acted as a perfect householder. His wife dressed very elegantly and beautifully and gave him loving glances. And he accepted them. He accepted her service because that was her service. But within himself, he always maintained himself as a great devotee and wasn't affected by the external activities that he was performing. So to do that is not so simple. It requires a lot of spiritual advancement. But that's what one has to be trained for. Living as an ideal householder with affection for the wife and children, but at the same time developing a sense of Krishna consciousness. Matter of fact, that's what we're all supposed to be doing, whatever our situation is. Doing our duties in that particular service, but developing a sense of Krishna consciousness. So everyone has to do that. And that's possible by understanding what the duties in the Varnashram system are, at least that are applicable to us, and how to cultivate a sense of Krishna consciousness. They both have to go together. Even if one is self-realized, then one is obliged, unless one has taken this vow of Babaji or something, one is advised to set the proper example for others externally, and even that Babaji is supposed to do it too, and at the same time have a sense of Krishna consciousness internally, at least to set the example for others. So that's emphasized here, and also emphasized is that sense of whatever we're doing, including Ashtanga Yoga, developing that sense of Krishna consciousness by concentrating the mind upon Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Thank you. Maharaj, how can one lead others if he is not like a perfect controller of his own senses? How does this work?
He can lead others, but they'll fall into a ditch. A perfect controller? Well, we can lead people who are not as good as controller of our senses as we are. We can lead them at least to the level where of our engagement in devotional service. Because we're talking about how much we're steadily engaged in devotional service with enthusiasm. How much we can develop relationships with the devotees in a loving way that's steady and enthusiastic. How we can develop a relationship with Krishna that's loving and enthusiastic. How we can be compassionate to the non-devotees and help them enthusiastically and lovingly to become Krishna conscious. And how we can remain detached due to our enthusiasm and our love for Krishna and his devotees, and the innocent, we can remain detached from the antagonism and envy of the non-devotees, of the those who are opposing Krishna. So if we're doing it better than someone else, then we can train them at least to come to our platform. Matter of fact, that's what we're supposed to do. Yari Deka, Tari Kaha, Krishna Upadesh, Amara Agaya Guruhana Tari Desh. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told all of us to become guru and tell everyone about Krishna. Study Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and to the best of our ability, try to help everyone become Krishna conscious. Matter of fact, that's our only duty. Whoever we meet, we should simply think about how to help them become Krishna conscious. Doesn't matter who they are. Even if there's a dog, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu threw the dog coconut, actually mango, dry mango. No, coconut, it was coconut. And the dog, he told the dog, chant Hare Krishna, and he chanted Hare Krishna, and he developed a spiritual body and went back to the spiritual world. So that's a good example. Because we should also chant Hare Krishna to the dogs. And, although I don't think they might not go back to Godhead. At least we should follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example. Anything else?
I just didn't catch, you were too quick, Maharaj, you were talking about tapasya and brahmacharya. I was not...
The first stage, before you can practice brahmacharya, you have to practice tapasya. Going to that verse, tapasya brahmacharyena, because if you don't go through a tapasya, eat too much, you sleep too much, you're watching, you know, videos all day long, you know, how can you practice brahmacharya? It's not possible. Vachavegam, manasakrodavegam, jivavegam, udarapastavegam. This, Prabhupada used to say, there's a straight line between the tongue, belly, and genitals. You can't control your tongue, you can't control anything else. So the first tapasya is chant Hare Krishna and only eat prasadam. And when we're more advanced, only eat as much prasadam as we need, and eat it with love, with devotion. Remembering Krishna, of course. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada writes here that any program that doesn't involve realizing Vishnumurti is useless. So why did we have so many... I mean, it seems rather not so intelligent that so many yogis would engage in yoga, performing such hard practices without aiming at realizing Vishnu.
Well, they obviously haven't read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita or Krishna's. I mean, not everyone has such good association. It depends on your association. I mean, look at the great personalities, Gautama, Astavakya, Pantanjali, Vaishasika, the Karma Mimamsa. So many persons just ready to devour anyone who comes along with their philosophy and mislead them. So we're very fortunate to come in contact with someone who's actually giving us the proper direction. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.